Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio. What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, the one who knows about the X's and O's. Ladies and gentlemen, Professor X Factor will be joining us momentarily. He had to handle some business and all that good stuff. So I'm going dolo for a little bit. You know what I mean? Just to let everybody know. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in to episode 45 of Locker Room Talk Radio, bringing you the real raw radio for the real sports fan. The number to call is 858-777-8433. Go into the show and let your voice be heard. Make sure you press 1 on your mobile device, because if you do not, I ain't going to hear what the hell you got to say. And I want to hear what you got to say. So at the end of the day, make sure you press 1. Starting off today, we like to start off each segment, open up each show with a segment called Dominant News and Athletes and Media News, or what we like to call it here, Locker Room Talk Radio, Damn. Some sad news in the sports world today. Former Detroit Lions wide receiver Charles Rogers passed away today from liver failure. He was number two pick overall in the 2003 NFL draft. He passed away, and our condolences go out to the Rogers family, and hope everything is everything. So just want to give a shout out to the Rogers family, and God rest your soul. Rest in peace, Mr. Charles Rogers. Okay, we're going to go ahead and recap some of these scores from yesterday's game. A lot of upsets in these games yesterday. Starting with the Thursday night game, the Chargers, they lost to the Raiders 24-26. The Ravens just shellacked, beat the brakes off of the Cincinnati Bengals 49-13. The Browns, this was one of the games that was a real big upset. The Browns held off a victory 19-16 against the Buffalo Bills. The Chicago Bears beat the Detroit Lions 20-13. The Tennessee Titans beat the Kansas City Chiefs by a narrow margin of 35-32. Also, the Buccaneers beat the Arizona Cardinals 30-27. The Falcons, ATL, they ain't doing too hot either this season, but they squeaked the win. They squeaked by 26-9 over the New Orleans Saints. That one was a surprise. And this one, the Miami Dolphins, the bottom of the barrel. You know what? I don't even know if I can say that. Hell, the New York Giants right now are the bottom of the barrel. 16-12, they beat the Indianapolis Colts. That one was a real big shocker. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Los Angeles Rams 17-12. The Packers beat the Panthers 24-16. The Vikings beat the Cowboys 28-24. And tonight's game, ladies and gentlemen, is the Seattle Seahawks versus the San Francisco 49ers. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just join the show. Let me go ahead and let him through. This is my man, NYC's finest executive, Q Dreyfus, on the mic. What up, Q?
Well, not much. I just want to send a quick shout out.
Okay.
To all of the delusional fans and predictable coaching, and you know, I want to take this time to appreciate the Miami Dolphins I want to send a special shout out to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I just got finished talking about them. Yep.
Yes, 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 God. Won't he do it? and to all the 1-7 teams that won on Sunday, I appreciate you for making the Giants top three on draft day. Hallelujah. Yeah,
I just said, man, we might be the bottom of the barrel. I just said that. It's crazy, man. Yeah, I was just talking
all
about
right.
those games.
You just said that? That's hilarious as shit.
That, man, what? I was just sitting here right before you got on the line, son. I'm telling you. And especially with the Miami game, man. I was like, I really was surprised that they beat the Colts.
I wasn't surprised because didn't I call you before to get the tip off to say, you know what, I'm ready to switch my shit to Miami. Didn't I tell you I was ready to switch it?
I got you.
I told you.
You said Miami and the Colts, and I wrote it down.
That's right.
The Bears.
Yeah, the Bears. I was like, yeah, give me the Bears, baby. Give me the Bears. I got a feeling. I wrote it down. I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. You called before kickoff, so I got
that's
you.
Right. I was like, man, I got a feeling. J-E-T-S. Jets, go ahead, gang green, baby. Oh, don't love it like you do.
Don't love it like you do.
I'm telling you, that toilet bowl at MetLife Stadium,
man,
between the Ghosts and the Black Cats, that shit
man,
was fabulous.
Look, man, look.
That toilet bowl at MetLife Stadium between the Ghosts and the Black Cats, man.
Well, just to let you know, executive, that Professor has some business to take care of. So me and you are going to be rocking on this show today, just to let you know, until he comes in on the line. But, you know what, man? I already got what I want to talk about, but you know what the hell with it? I'm going to go off-road, man. I'm going to go off-road on this real quick, man. What information do you have, you know what I'm saying, after this toilet bowl game that we talked that you just talked about as far as the Giants?
Oh, you mean besides the fact that the Giants are reluctant to make a coaching staff change because the Dallas Cowboys lost last night and mathematically the Giants are still within striking distance of the division?
Yeah, whatever.
What type of naive, delusional shit are y'all smoking?
Man, who you telling?
The first thing you fucked up was not listening to Tom Coughlin.
Come on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The second time you fucked up was trying to maintain continuity with Eli Manning and the offense. So instead of bringing in a real head coach, you promoted an offensive coordinator that couldn't fit the suit or the shoes that he was wearing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The third thing you did was allow people to talk about keeping Eli Manning too long because of those two Super Bowls he won you, but you kept Jerry Reese just as damn long. So, if somebody had to go, it should have been Jerry, not Coughlin. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The fourth thing you did was not want to overpay for a head coach because John Gruden apparently, allegedly, reset the market value for head coaches coming out of retirement and being top priority. Bill Cowher.
Come on now, come on.
So you didn't want to overspend for a real coach, so you wanted to go get what you call a professional. So you searched for professionals, and yes, this is your fault too. Do you know why we got stuck with Pat Shurmur? Because listen, Giants Nation, Giants Pride, Giants World, nobody, and if you believe this, you're full of shit. And you can call into the show and challenge me if you want to. And I'm going to let you speak, and then I'm going to wait till you're done, and then I'm going to tell you you're full of shit, too. But you're full of shit if you think anybody in the fan base, anybody in the front office, and anybody in the locker room was looking forward to Pat Shurmur. Nobody in the world, Craig. The only person looking forward to Pat Shurmur being the head coach was the Shurmur family. Nobody. Nobody. Okay?
Right.
Guess
right.
what? The New York Giants were spawned by every head football coach potential candidate. Interviews were turned down. They said, no, thank you. Y'all ain't got y'all shit together. Josh McDaniel
right.
said, I'm cool, bro. Y'all got that. Okay?
Right.
You got Shurmur was your default. He was not your decision.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Let's put that shit
right.
out there in the atmosphere. Shurmur was your default, not your
right.
decision.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So stop that. Now, the fifth thing, I'm lost count. Fifth, sixth, 5A, 5B, call it what you want. The next thing that you fucked up doing was you don't like admitting fault or pointing blame. Why? Because the blame game starts at the top with ownership, leadership, executives, general management, player personnel, not just coaches and coordinators. Because
right.
as far as I remember, Shurmur didn't choose his own coordinators.
I got you.
So that's another thing. The next thing y'all fucked up on was bringing in a defensive coordinator that changes Giants football. We are
that...
not a 3-4 franchise.
Come on, speak
we
on that.
We are not a 3-4 franchise. We don't
that...
run no damn 34.
Right, we run the 43.
Y'all look stupid as shit on Sunday, running 7 defensive backs, 1 linebacker, and 3 defensive tackles.
Man.
Never in the history of neverdom have you ever seen that type of stupidity and called it fucking football.
Right.
7 defensive backs, 3
right.
defensive tackles, and a partridge in a pear tree called Ogletree. Are you serious?
Okay. Man,
are you serious right now?
Yeah, right. Bro, we
then
going on.
The next
these.
Thing you're going to do is have the audacity to have press conferences talking about players need to be accountable. Players
right.
need
right.
to play to their potential. You're not worried about your job, and you refuse to make a coordinator or coaching staff change? So you're good with being the – and when I say this, I say this with statistical fact. You're okay with being the lowest graded head coach in NFL history with 50 or more games. You're okay with that.
Man, he – okay.
So at this
yeah,
point, I'm not putting it on Shurmur because – if everybody who is Shurmur's boss is also okay with it, then Shurmur's not the fucking problem. Because everybody else is clearly okay with losing.
Yeah.
Everybody's clearly okay with his nonchalant fucking press conference.
Right. Which is getting on my damn nerves with that, man. Yo, you got to have some type of urgency. You have to have some type of concern. Like show that you actually do.
My only concern.
You know what I mean?
My only concern is trying
exactly.
to win a game. Really?
Exactly.
Really?
Really?
That's your only concern?
Stop it. Right.
Shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me smack this hot pot of grits on your face. See if you can play with that.
Love and happiness. Hit the Al Green on him, boy. Man, what? Hey, man. But you know what? We're going to go ahead and move forward, man, because like I said, at the end of the day, man, like you said, top three pick, that's exactly where the hell we're going. So it is what it is. Like I said, as a fan, it still bugs the hell out
wait,
of me.
Wait, and I just want to say one more thing so people really
okay.
get it.
Okay.
Okay. We are not going to win the next game, the game after that, or the game after that. Tell you this right now, we are set up to be 2-11. Over the next month. The New York Football Giants, as you know them, ladies and gentlemen, will be 2-11, and we will be in the driver's seat for the number 2 pick. So what you should start doing is rooting for the Cincinnati Bengals to win a damn game. That's what you should be doing. Stop rooting for the Giants. stop rooting for the Giants.
Mm.
Oh, and to the rest of you, apologize to Eli Manning. I'm just going to drop the mic there because I'm done.
Absolutely.
For all of you that said it's Eli, we need to get younger. We need to get more mobile. We need to get a stronger arm. We need to get faster. We need to have play action routes and scrambling. We need. Well, you got it. And you know what else it got? 6-game losing streak, 2-8.
Nope.
You know what that means? Nope. That means the New York Giants, the New York Knicks, and the Golden State Warriors all got the same record. All y'all are 2-8. How that sound?
Wow. You're going to move along, man. It's terrible, but we're going to move along.
Yeah, you
man.
Can move along. And Dwayne Haskins has been named starting quarterback for the rest of the season. So you know what that means? That means Washington about to get a couple more wins, too. And then we're going to move from number 3 right into that number 2 spot. Shout out to Dwayne Haskins. I hope you go off on whatever you need to go off on. Get it?
Yo. First of all, man, you must have been in my house, man. You can't go in front of me, man, because that's where I was about to go to next. The Washington Redskins, they named Dwayne Haskins their starter.
Let me turn that surveillance camera off. I apologize.
And the crazy part about this is that Dwayne Haskins, in his 44 pass attempts with 8.5 quarters of football that he's played this season, he has not thrown a touchdown pass yet. That's crazy. Case Keenum was going to be the number 2 quarterback, and Colt McCoy is going to be the number 3.
How could he? He didn't have nobody that had confidence in him.
Half the coaches
didn't want him. Half the front office didn't want him.
Right.
And based on where he got drafted, half the league didn't want him.
So let me ask you this, man, real quick, man, so we can touch on this real quick. Dwayne Haskins being the starter for the Washington Redskins, at this point in time of the season, is it really worth putting him out there or just sit him down and just wait for next?
Yes, it's worth putting out there. That's stupid not to put him out there.
Okay.
Like what?
Your opinion.
No, that's stupid.
I got you. But just
yeah,
Redskins.
That's stupid.
That would be
a Pat Shermer type decision.
Gotcha, but don't expect Washington Redskins to go on a winning streak because you're going to be right there, right along with us, man. Because he really doesn't have a true number one wide receiver. But just like you said, man, I hope he goes off. I hope he, you know, say for what little that he does have. You know,
hey, who knows? Washington Redskins might be in line to sign Dez Bryant in 10 days. That's right. Imagine the Redskins doing something smart like signing Dez Bryant and bringing in Kelvin Benjamin, and then all of a sudden Haskins stretches the field with his legs and has two tall weapons. One's an end zone threat, and one is, well, you don't know if you're going to get Dez or if you're going to get Bryant, but either way, you got somebody that can take him a quarterback off the damn field.
I got you. Well, moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles guard Brandon Brooks for getting a new deal that makes highest paid guard in the National Football League. The deal is worth $56.5 million, worth $30 million guaranteed for 4 years. So he is the highest paid guard in the league. this story here, man, I wanted to touch on real quick, man. Juju Smith-Schuster, man. Jalen Ramsey said some things about Juju, saying that pretty much that Juju is not Antonio Brown. When they played yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers played the Los Angeles Rams, which the Steelers end up winning that game, barely, 17-12. But Jalen Ramsey was asked about Juju Smith-Schuster and what type of player that he was. And he, and I'm paraphrasing here, said that, you know, he's okay, but he's not an Antonio Brown. And me and Antonio Brown had wars. We went back and forth, and, you know, he's pretty much not that guy yet. So Juju happens to say this, and I just want to go ahead and get this quote right, okay? Well, first of all, let me give you the exact quote of Jalen Ramsey. He says, no disrespect to him, he's not Antonio Brown. I matched up with Antonio there for 2 years, and it was a good battle. And I held my own in those battles. And yeah, now I'm going up against a different person, different body type, different receiver a little bit. He can make plays. So, Juju, couldn't let that ride. He had to his chest out a little bit. He had to say what was on his mind. So this is what he says. He says, you know what, and I quote, he says, he's right, though. I'm not Antonio Brown. I'll never be Antonio Brown. I'm myself. I'm Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm not as good as him yet. I think I have time to proceed and get to his level. But we're two totally different persons. Executive, will Juju Smith-Schuster ever get to Antonio Brown's level?
Oh, that's the question that comes out of all of this? Nobody
well,
knows.
I was going to keep going. I wanted that answer to that first. Do you think you'll ever get to his level?
Maybe. I don't know.
You're terrible.
Yeah. Is he remaining a Steeler for the rest of his career?
Well, you never know.
If that's the answer, then probably not.
Okay, well, let me get my two cents in it. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy that is a different type of receiver. I've always liked Juju. I've always liked his work ethic. The man can play football. He is a different body type. However, Juju is not Antonio Brown. I don't think he'll ever be Antonio Brown. That's just my personal opinion. And the reason why I don't think he'll ever be Antonio Brown is because, to me, I think he's a possession receiver at best. Glorified possession receiver at best. And at the end of the day, man, I just, like I said, I like the guy. I like his work ethic. He's a good character dude. But at the end of the day, man, I don't know. I understand you got to talk highly of yourself. You got to give yourself that confidence, you know, because you're never going to say that I'm not going to ever be great. But, you know, the eyeball test tells me it's something. And the reason why it tells me something is because of this. Juju, in that game against the Los Angeles Rams, he was held to only 3 catches and 44 yards on 6 targets. And this is the fourth time in 9 games that Juju had less than 50 yards receiving. That's not Antonio Brown. It really isn't. But, hey, executive, we have a caller on the line. So let me just get to this caller, 646 area code. Caller, what's your name and who you calling?
Hey, Jay, it's Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Bryce, oh, man, what's good, baby? How you feeling, man? Hey, I don't be mad at me at what I just said about your man, Juju, man. It is what it is,
man. That's okay,
man.
I mean, look, I don't get mad at other people being wrong. I let them, you know, have their space.
Okay. Hey, man, what's up, brother? Then since you are on the air,
maybe I need to be let in on the joke. Who's wrong by what?
AG, you should only let people that actually claim specific teams to have comments.
If you don't claim a team, you shouldn't have nothing to say.
That's
the wrong person. That's executive. He's a Giants fan. You talking about professional.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Wait, pause. I ain't no Giants fan. I'm Giants family.
There you go. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
So go ahead, Bryce. You tell me about what first Jalen Ramsey said, that he's not Antonio Brown. No disrespect, he's not Antonio Brown. But he's a different type of guy, different type of body type, different type of receiver. And Juju said, you're right, I'm not Antonio Brown. He's Juju Smith, and he doesn't think that he's good as Antonio Brown yet, but he still has time to get to that level. You think he's going to ever be on Antonio Brown's level?
Well, two things. One, to the executive, I have to respect him for claiming the Giants right now since they're so more bound and so awful. But I give him that he's sticking with his team. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. We already put that out there.
What'd you say?
But for number two, you know, he said that about Juju. My comment is, so? I mean, you know, I mean, so what? I mean, he's not Antonio Brown. No one is Antonio Brown. So, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, Antonio Brown, to me, best receiver in the game. So no one's going to be Antonio Brown. I mean, he's right in saying different body type and all that, right? But that's just, you know, Jalen kind of talking trash a little bit. It was, he didn't need to say it, but he said it. So mm-hmm. what? You know, I mean, Juju, if anything, Juju's game more resembles Hines Ward, which is fine for me. And that's why he's definitely more to me than a possession receiver. You know, he's a good receiver. He's young. He's growing. And I think the offensive coordinator is actually, even though offensive coordinator is older, I think he's got room to grow as a play caller in the NFL. They got to find ways to get Juju open. Mason got to continue to get some 50-50 balls up there. Juju's made some plays this year. But you know, when you lose Antonio Brown, they're hurting because Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown.
Okay,
better than all these dudes.
I got to ask you this, Bryce. Okay, you just said that Juju Smith-Schuster reminds you of Hines Ward, Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Wide receiver Hines Ward. Now, okay, now let me ask you this. I got to ask you this. If that's the case, you know, like I said before, I look at Juju Smith-Schuster as, first of all, I don't think, and hey, this is my opinion, I don't think he's a number one receiver. I really don't.
Okay.
And the reason why I don't think he's a number one receiver is that I don't think he puts fear in anybody's hearts. And the reason why, and like you said, when Antonio Brown was there, the reason why Juju went off the way that he did, because Juju was single covered. Now that you put brackets over top of Juju and you double team him, he ain't the same guy that he was last year. And he's not getting that type of respect. But I will tell you this, and this is why I said I think he's a souped up possession receiver. There's nothing wrong with being a possession receiver or number two, as long as you do your job. Okay, and at the end of the day, like you said, 50-50 balls, I give you that. In the red zone, is he big? Yes. Is he strong? Yes. Is he physical? Yes. But at the end of the day, is he getting separation? I don't even think that the coaches can put him in position to get separation. I just don't think that he can separate on his own. I really don't. And I like the guy. I really do like the guy. So this is not trying to dog him. But, you know, some people got it and some people just don't. And I just think that this dude, like I said, as your number two, I'll take him all day. But if you ask me to put him as number one, as the deep threat guy or the guy to worry about, I can't get with it. I can't get with it.
Well, a couple of things. One, like Hines, I think that's a misnomer about Hines. People thought he was just a possession guy. But Hines Ward was an all-around great football player. And that's why he can get deep. He can do a lot of things. He can do a lot of things on the football field, even though he wasn't a burner, because he can just play. I think Juju is more in that mode. I think Juju can separate. I think Juju has separated. And I think one thing that goes against your point, Z, is that they treat him like a number one. Why is he seeing these double teams? If he's not really number one and they don't respect that, then put your best guy, just man up single high, and don't bring no safety help. But they're not doing that with Juju. They're doubling him a lot and forcing him to go other places with the ball because they respect his playmaking ability as a football player. Juju, like Hines Ward, a lot of these receivers aren't what these guys are, which is football players first, then wide receivers second.
Okay.
And so I think all those things combined, I think, makes Juju a number one. He's just a little bit different in terms of his game and how he's going to go about getting it done. I have no problem with Juju. I think Juju will figure it out. And yeah, he'll be making plays. There's a lot of season left too. And Mason has been playing actually better than what people think. And I think they're going to start letting it go a little bit more often as the season goes.
Yeah, I'm not mad at Mason. I'm not mad at Mason at all. But I want to go back to your point real quick about, you know, the double team. And like you said, well, double teaming him for a reason. They respect him. Now, not so much right now. You know what I'm saying? I haven't watched y'all, so you probably would know better than me. I would defer to you. However, my thing is this. You know, even with that double team in that bracket, okay, they did that to Antonio Brown. He ain't Antonio Brown, but Antonio Brown still got you 1,000 yards with a double team, with a bracket, and he's just not doing that. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is when you are asked to be that guy, that difference maker, that guy, and to your point, I still think that he can be a great football player. And maybe, you put him in a slot, you put him in different places on the field, but I'm talking about that guy, and I don't know if they're doing it now. I just don't see, and like I said, prove me wrong. I just don't see him being that guy that everybody fears. To that, again, you say what?
I can understand why you're looking at it like that, but since he stepped on the field this year, the defenses haven't been treating him like that. He's been seeing a lot of double teams. He's been getting a lot of coverage slid his way. They're not willing to, for most of the game, put him on that island. And they are moving him around and trying to help him make more plays because they are trying to get him away from double teams because they're putting that emphasis on him. And the team talks about this a lot. Juju just got to stay patient. Now, to Jalen's point, sure, he's not Antonio Brown. Right, my dude. I mean, but and so what? Like, Antonio Brown will beat them double teams, but he's not Antonio Brown, so why would I be mad at that? Right. Antonio Brown is the guy. So, yeah, you could double-team Antonio. He's beating double teams because he's dynamic like that. Juju's not Antonio Brown, but that don't mean he's not a number one guy, which they're treating him like one. So I think that speaks a lot to Juju's skill. And he's young, and I think they're just going to have to figure it out.
Well, hold that thought real quick, Bryce. Executive, is there anything that you would like to add? You heard what Bryce said? Anything that you would like to comment on?
Yeah, I didn't hear what he said about me and my Giants in the beginning. What did he say?
Well, I said they're moribund. I said they're moribund, and they're pathetic. That's what I said. I think those are my exact words.
Got you. Yeah, the only thing about my Giants, baby, I'm looking forward to is Chase Young. That's the only thing about my Giants. Chase Young, baby. I can't wait for us to lose to the Bears, lose to the Packers, lose to the Dolphins. I'm going to be rooting for Cincinnati every damn week. You better believe it. My favorite quarterback in the league is Ryan Finley.
Yo, as football fans, did you see Jamal Adams,
Saquon Barkley, and Danny Ducks?
Did you see him, dude? That was a stunning. Yep. That's embarrassing.
Right. Right, let me say something, Bryce.
And you know why that happened?
I want to keep it that way. You understand? Don't call
me with that. No. Go ahead with that, G. Let Bryce say exactly what it is. The truth, baby.
Let me explain
something to you, okay? What Bryce witnessed, along with the rest of the world, was our prestigious head coach not giving any practice reps to the tackles that were actually in the game.
Wow.
That's what you saw. No practice reps went to Eric Smith. Nick Gates got 2 days worth of practice. That's what you saw on Sunday. I know it because I'm there, so I know the inside bullshit.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead and let Bryce speak the truth because what Bryce saw is exactly what.
No, I get it. I'm just saying, I ain't got the like.
No. You're supposed to like it.
You should be
rooting against the Giants for the next month too, so you can finally get a pass rusher in April.
Man, I hear you, but will we get pass rusher in April? You know, we've been talking about that forever. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, let me explain something to you. If we lose the next three games, which we should, Pat Shurmur will be drinking beers at Tony Romo's party on the couch next to Ben McAdoo.
Man, look, I'm all for that. I'm all for it. I am all for it. But
Pat Shurmur is a terrible head coach. He shouldn't have that job.
Terrible.
You heard what I said. I'm going to say it again. Pat Shurmur was never the decision. He was the default. He was never the decision. He was the default. Why? Because you didn't make your organization and franchise inviting enough for anybody to want to come fix you. So you had to choose the best person from the B squad because nobody from the A team. Anybody from the A team would rather be a coordinator on another team than be the coach of your bullshit. How about that?
I got you. I got you. Man, look.
And that's real talk from a Giants fan. Shit.
And Adam Gase is a terrible head coach, too. Just awful. How these guys
do right. Job. But guess what? He just beat Shermer. Yes, he did.
Yes, he just beat Shermer. Hey,
the New York Ghost versus the New York Black Cat. And the Ghost won. Shit.
Man, look. This next segment of the show, man, first of all, number to call is 858-777-8433. I got a question for both of you, if you're able to still stay on the line, Big Bryce. This segment is called Things to Make You Go. I got a question for both of you gentlemen. After the game yesterday between the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys, a lot of people are shifting powers in the NFC side of the league. And right now, who do you think, and I'm going to start with our guest first, Mr. Bryce, who right now is the biggest threat in the NFC? Who do you think it is?
As much as it sickens me to say it because I just don't like them as coaches, it's the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, if they can protect, if they can continue to protect Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he's another one, not elite, but – good enough. I mean, they've got an all-around team, and Shanahan's schemes in terms of the way he's physical, they always base their schemes on running the football. They always make running the football priority. Their defense is legit. I've always liked Richard Sherman as a corner. I think he's smart. I think he's a cerebral player. I think he's got length and skill. I mean, they've just got a lot of talent over there, and they're the biggest threat right now. I think they're a very good all-around football team. They can line up and be physical. They can line up and run the football 30 times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Executive, your thoughts, man. Who right now in the NFC do you think is the biggest threat? Which team?
I mean, I'd hate to say it right now, but I think it's the San Francisco 49ers.
Same thing Bryce said.
Yeah, they play defense. And the Seahawks, while they have Russell Wilson, the defense is not very good. That's not a good defense.
I'm gonna put it to you like this. I still stand behind my statement in August.
Okay.
I still think we see a couple of backup quarterbacks in the playoffs.
Got you.
Every week. There's been new starting quarterbacks every week since I said it. This week we just had two more with the Detroit Lions and the damn the Bengals and the Colts.
Yeah,
yep, the Bengals, the Colts, and the Lions all started new quarterbacks this week. Every week we've had new. So maybe it's not Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints. Maybe it's RG3 with the Ravens.
Okay.
Maybe Lamar cheat code Jackson does one spin move too many and gets truck sticked by the wrong linebacker on his throwing arm, and RG3 got to step in and be Nick Foles for the Ravens. Wouldn't that shit be the glorious shit in the world?
That would be crazy if that happened.
Exactly.
That would be bananas if that.
What if it's Nick Mullins for the 49ers?
Yeah, it could be. But let me tell this to Bryce real quick, in case if you don't know Bryce. Let me tell you what this dude on the other line said.
Yeah,
he said
tell him what I said.
Son, look, understand this. There's a lot of things that I'm skeptical on a lot of stuff, okay? And there's a lot of things I'm like, okay, it is what it is. You make predictions, blah, 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 blah. It is what it is. This dude said at the beginning of the season, and I got to give him credit, and I said, how the hell did he know or even predict to say something like this? He said that there will at least be six backup quarterbacks this season that will go into the playoffs. And I was like, damn, that's a bold-ass prediction. But you know what? Half the damn league right now got backup quarterbacks. So I just want to let you know, I don't know how the hell he did it, but he did it, and he said it. And lo and behold, now it's like, the 32 teams in the league, I think, what is it, like 12 or 14 of them got back to quarterback? And like half of them got winning records. I'm like, this is crazy.
The executive profit.
Man, profit out here.
I'll be trying to tell them.
don't know how the hell he pulled that one off, but he did.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of these. Yeah, man. A lot of these. It's been a crazy year for quarterbacks this year.
Yep. Yes. Phillip Rivers, the next one to go.
Oh, don't say that on this show. The professor will come on, we'll hear his head explode. No, he loves his voice for the river.
So let me ask y'all this. Both of y'all said the 49ers are the biggest threat in the NFC. However, the thing about it that I have to say is this. After seeing what Dalvin Cook has been doing all season, and yes, like you said, Jimmy Garoppolo is not the greatest. He manages not to lose.
No. I'm not even gonna let you finish that statement because Kirk Cousins is still Kirk Cousins. Don't let this bullshit.
I'm not talking about Kirk Cousins. No, I know you're not.
You're talking about the Minnesota Vikings, and it's led by Kirk Cousins. So that means Minnesota can only go as far as their quarterback.
Just go ahead and
end that shit right now. Next topic.
No, I got a question, and I'm gonna say.
Okay, go ahead, ask the question. So
my question is, as far as the Minnesota Vikings, do you think that Dalvin Cook can be the guy, not Kirk Cousins, but Dalvin Cook and that Minnesota defense? Do you think they can surprise people?
Oh my lord! Surprise people and do what, Gary? Because that's a random ass question. Surprise people and do what? Make the playoffs. Or win the Super Bowl. Which one are you asking?
What you're not gonna do is act like my question is not.
No. You can ask me questions. What you're not gonna do is try to trick me and Bryce into supporting some bullshit. So you gonna specify whether you talking about Dalvin Cook lead them to the playoffs, or you talking about the Minnesota Vikings making the Super Bowl. Which one are you asking?
The Super Bowl? No. I didn't say the Super Bowl. I don't even think the 49ers
need
the Super Bowl.
Then that's cool. So yeah, me and Bryce support whatever it is the hell you're saying. Next topic. Yeah. Okay, cool. You got it. No problem. We got your back. You got it. Hey, no, I'm not disrespectful. I'm just managing time very well. I'm not disrespectful. I'm just looking at the 60 minutes and going, don't matter. That's her cousin. Take that shit off. Next topic. Yes, sir.
No, sir.
Do I think Minnesota not with Kirk? Now maybe if they back up quarterback go in. Shit. Who is they backup? Don't even answer that.
Hey man, since I got Bryce on the line, man, and he's a big time Steeler fan. I gotta go to the other side of the ball, man. Hey Bryce. Who in the AFC, man, is the biggest threat? Of course.
Oh, come on, Bryce. You know the answer to that. Come on, Bryce.
Come on, Bryce.
Come on,
you know,
Bryce.
Dad, man. You know what? I know. I'm a little soft for saying this, and it sickens me to say it. But beating him once is one thing. Beating him twice is another. It's always going to be the New England Patriots until I see otherwise. I've learned. I just had to learn not to bet against them.
Oh,
it's one thing to beat him once. The greatest coach in the world.
Can they do it again?
I don't know. I'm going to go with the Patriots until otherwise.
Were you the type of person on that long list of people that lost a lot of money betting on the Patriots against my Giants?
Oh, no. I was rooting for the Giants.
Okay.
And one of the things, I didn't think the Giants would win, but I knew they could keep it close because they can beat you up in the trenches. Well, they used to be able to. Now they got Jamal Adams just stunning them all over the field.
Clearly, ladies and gentlemen, to anybody listening to the show, we are talking about past tense.
right. So, yeah, I'm gonna stick with the Patriots. You know, because, again, people are enamored with Lamar, but the question remains the NFL. Here's the bugaboo. If I get Lamar down by 10, 13 points, can the Ravens come back? And
yes,
I think that's a legitimate question because I haven't seen a lot of that from Lamar.
I think they can. But you know what? Bryce, you know what? I'm going to say
they haven't shown it.
That's a good question, and it's a legit question. But you know what? I don't even think that Lamar Jackson has to carry that load by himself. I think him and Ingram can make that happen. Because at the end of the day, like they played the Patriots, that's what got them over the hump, man. The Patriots couldn't stop the run. they couldn't stop a nosebleed at first. And at the end of the day, their defense, they had the number one defense, right? We're talking about the Patriots, right? They had the number one defense in time when they played and all that good stuff. But they had no answer for Lamar Jackson or Mark Ingram. They had no answer for them. So I think they could beat them in an AFC championship game. I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, and I get what you're saying. It's one difference in regular season and it's different in the playoffs. I completely agree with you on that. However, now, Lamar Jackson is still Lamar Jackson. And at the end of the day, it's kind of like, how do you stop this guy? You know what I'm saying? And let's not steal the Ray defense. Ray defense is not no bum deal. So, but I think that the Raiders are the best team other than the Patriots, because I think the Patriots are always in the face. As much as I hate their asses, but I think the Ravens have, if anybody, to the throne room, go to the Super Bowl, it is the Ravens. It is the Ravens.
You know what I'll do? I'll start my answer by saying this. In the month of November, the Dolphins are 2-0, and the Patriots are winless. I just wanted to point that out. I just wanted to point that out. Now maybe Giselle is supporting November. And that's the reason for Tom Brady's, lackadaisicalness. However, I don't know who's beatboxing with the Wu-Tang Clan.
Man, Ron.
But anyway.
Yeah.
shit. Sound like Method Man was sitting there with shotgun. But the moral of the story is, I think three things have happened. One, I think the Ravens may have shown people how to beat the Patriots, and maybe just not the Ravens getting lucky and Patriots just having a one-off week, because it's not off, because Belichick was prepared for it. He was preparing for it. He was looking forward to it. That's why, see, and I catch bullshit like this. I don't know if other people do, but I catch bullshit like this. Did you notice how the week before the game, the Patriots executives, front office, coaches, and lead players kept praising the Ravens and how good the team is and how special Lamar is? Don't do that shit that way. You got an excuse as to why you lost before you actually played the game. I caught that shit. Nobody else caught that shit. I caught that shit. You praising y'all ain't praised no other team. You didn't call any other player special. But right before you play the Ravens, all of a sudden, they're a great organization, a great team. Lamar's a special talent. What? Oh, yeah, they knew they was going to lose. That sounds like some scared bullshit. That sounds like you know you're going to get your ass beat at school. So instead of waiting for the bully, you went to the bully and said, "Hey, dog, you hungry? I got an extra sandwich in my lunch."
Crazy.
I know y'all. People are enamored with Lamar, and I respect Lamar. I love what he's doing. I'm a tough grader on quarterbacks. I'm not sold just yet, because while he is a good passer, I need to see more from the pocket. And when he gets down by 2 touchdowns, or if that happens, the Ravens become very vulnerable. Now, what's going to help them is that the best secondary, they're the most talented secondary in the league. I mean, my goodness, Jimmy's back, Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Earl Thomas, like Madden. Like, so it's going to be difficult to get a lead on them. And that's very, again, it sickens me to say it as a Steelers fan, but that's a great job by the front office. They shored up the secondary, so it's going to be difficult to get a lead on them so they can play their style of football and dictate the pace and the tempo. Having said that, depending on how this season goes, I tell you one defense you don't want to see in the playoffs is the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. You don't want to see that defense in the playoffs. You don't want to see that defense in the playoffs. Even with Cleveland beating Baltimore, the team that did the best against Lamar so far was the Steelers. They bottled him up. You don't want to see that defense in the playoffs. I'm not saying we win. You just don't want to see that defense in the playoffs.
Question. Do you think you win the playoffs? Are the Steelers going to make the playoffs?
I'll tell you what. I'll go on record as saying now, I think they do make the playoffs. I like because I like the trajectory of the quarterback. If he can continue to play, you know, efficient football, and they can get their offense going a little more. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this schedule. You know, people on paper and fantasy, we love the Browns. We love to talk about the Browns. The Browns are a joke. And I'm not saying it's not going to be a tough game, but as an organization, they're a joke. Like, where they're at now as to what they should be is a joke. So I think Pittsburgh can split with the Browns. They can beat the Bengals. I think they can beat the Bills and the Jets. You're looking at what could be a 10-6 football team. Listen, I'm all in. I think they're going to beat the Browns on Thursday. I can see Pittsburgh beating the Browns on Thursday.
And they probably will. But you know what? But I got to ask you, though, Bryce. And I, for one, always 100 when it comes to my time. I'll tell you in a minute. No, we got a shot. No. However, I'm looking at the AFC right now, and between, the damn Patriots, the Buffalo Bills, I'm also looking at Tennessee. Tennessee's not playing bad football. I'm also looking at, and believe it or not, everybody's quick to put out the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't count them out yet. So I don't know, man. Like I said, do you think Mason Rudolph has what it takes, man, to get them into the postseason?
I think he's got the toughness. Yeah, I think he's got the mental toughness, the grit. I think he's well prepared and studied. I think he got a good arm. Yeah, I mean, look, 11 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's not making mistakes. The receivers drop too many. They're not getting enough on a whole from the skill positions and the coordinator. They got to do better. They got to actually help the rookie QB, because when the offense sputters, I'm telling you, it ain't the rookie. He's putting balls where they need to be. I think he's tough. I think he's got the moxie. Yeah, he's got it. He can get that team to a play. He's good enough to get that team to the playoffs. They're in the sixth seed right now.
We got a special caller on the line. This just in. Professor, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. I got a question for Bryce.
Professor?
So let me ask
how
you
angry
question,
are you
Bryce?
Already? I can already hear the anger in your voice.
Let me ask you a question, Bryce. Do you think that Mason Rudolph has enough moxie, as you so eloquently put, has enough moxie to lead his team to a victory when he's down by 2 touchdowns, or is that just against Lamar?
Actually, he's already. When we're done laughing, you know, this is the. I love it when the professor comes on with his emotion and all that, negating facts. He's already done it. He already did it. He came off the concussion. He missed a week. He had a bye week.
He
was down to the Dolphins.
Has he done it in the playoffs? So let's
change the question now. So he came on to try to get me. I got him. Now he wants to change the question. Okay, now what's the question? Give me the next question. Go ahead. Let's go to the next question. What's the next question? Here we go. What other conspiracy theory can you spin to make your point? Let's go.
Gary,
I'm
Gary,
dying to hear
this. Did I get him, G?
You got him, son. You got him.
Wait a minute.
That wasn't Professor. That was exactly.
That was me the whole time, baby.
Oh, man. No, you did get me. You did get me. I thought that wasn't Professor.
Boy, that's because I'm
you
good
got
at
me on that one.
It's not your fault. Yeah,
you got me on that one. I thought that wasn't your fault.
You know why? Because that's exactly the type of shit that he would say.
That is exactly what he would say, dog.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm trying to tell you.
Absolutely.
You got me on that one, bro.
Oh, that shit was good, man. That was classic.
Hey, gentlemen,
you got me on
that
one.
My night.
That's exactly the type of like, conspiracy theory type point you would try to make.
Yes, but we got 6 minutes left to the show's over. I gotta ask this one question, man, to the both of you. And Bryce, thank you for staying on, man. It's definitely a pleasure. This last question that I have, I saw this on a clip, okay, on Undisputed. Okay, Jerry Rice was on the record saying that Julian Edelman has the best footwork in the National Football League. Now, I'm gonna go to y'all, but let me answer first. I love Jerry Rice, best receiver has ever played a game, but I think he's wrong. I'm going to say that respectfully. I can name two other wide receivers that got better footwork than Julian Edelman, and one of them is a ex-New York Giant by the name of Odell Beckham Jr., and another one who I think, for real, right now, other than Antonio Brown, because he's not in the league right now, which is my man down in Houston, DeAndre Hopkins. How the hell are you going to disrespect them guys? Hell, you can't even put Julio Jones in that damn equation. Better footwork than those guys? How does Julian Edelman have better footwork than D-Hop, Odell, Julio Jones, A.J. Green? I'm not understanding that. Executive, do you agree with the Hall of Famer wide receiver, Jerry Rice?
Real quick, guys, because I got to get off the phone. Can I go first? Okay. And I got to get off the phone.
Right. Go ahead.
Do your thing, baby.
Let me go first. If Jerry say it, let me tell you something. I believe it, because let me tell you why, G. Odell, I think, is one of the most talented athletes at receiver I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I need to be a better complete receiver. And a lot about complete receiving is what I talked about with Hines Ward. Mm-hmm. Depth of routes, footwork, football IQ in situations, blocking. And it's mm-hmm. not just being an uber athlete making highlight reel catches. And so from what Jerry is talking about, when you talk about a guy like Julian who works in the slot, and whose game is predicated on smarts and toughness and getting separation and quickness, I trust what Jerry's seeing. I mean, he does. Julian Edelman has outstanding footwork. He gets depth. He gets right on depth real fast. He can get on your toes and make moves. He's really good at that in the slot. He's been a problem for a long time. I think his quarterback makes him better than he is. But in terms of footwork, I'll go with what Jerry's saying. I got to go with that. And now I got to get off the phone, but that's my last point on that.
Hey, Bryce, man, always a pleasure, man. Definitely hit us back later, man. You have a good one.
Always great. Y'all are hilarious. You got me on that professor thing. I really thought it was him.
Hey, you know what, man? You ain't the first. You won't be the last. It ain't your fault. Take this crowd, baby. I love it.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right, man. One. That's our man, Bryce, out of Brooklyn, man. You know what I'm saying? Our long, long friend here at Locker Room Talk Radio. Hey, executive, man, do you agree with the Hall of Famer, man? Julian Edelman has the best footwork in the National Football League.
Do I agree with him? No, but I'm not a Hall of Fame wide receiver that understands the game, played at that position, and understands the analytics of it and the stylistics of it and the logistics of it for the better part of the last 3-4 decades as that Hall of Famer does. So if Jerry says it, then there's got to be something to it because he's clearly not playing favoritism. It's not like Julian Edelman is a 49er. So what favoritism is he playing?
I got you on that.
Jerry Rice isn't an Edelman fan, coming from out of college because they went to the same alma mater. Mm-hmm. He wasn't standing on the sidelines rooting for him to be drafted during the combine. So clearly it's lack of prejudice and some type of knowledge, insight that he has that we do not.
I guess, man. And you know what? All those points that you said were valid. I just I second guess it because at the end of the day, I look at these wide receivers, and because Odell was on my team, so I studied him a little bit more than the average. And yes, no, I haven't played in the National Football League forever or as long as Jerry Rice or anything of that nature. But when I look at a wide receiver, and maybe this is just the way I see him, I look at a guy who's a threat inside and outside.
Right, but remember, that's not what he said. He
said footwork. I got you.
But so when that has nothing to do with any additional things that come into play.
I got you. But when I look at you know what made me pay attention to D-Hop was and actually it was his footwork. When they did it was an old tape. It was like maybe a couple of years ago. Real quick, out of here. They practiced against the Washington Redskins. Break off that line of scrimmage against D'Angelo Hall and the way that he broke his ankle literally, I was like, this dude, man, he had like Chad Johnson feet. Like it was just like so super quick, like lightning quick. And I'm like, damn, now I see why he's inspiration because this dude is like Speedy Gonzalez in cleats. But I don't know, man. I don't know. And like I said, I'm trying not to disrespect the great Jerry Rice, though. But I guess now because he said it, I have to go and just – really, really study and look for myself now. Like, I'm really going to pay attention to it now. But, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, let me ask you this question, though, real quick.
Okay, we got 30 seconds, but go ahead.
Out of the five receivers that you named and the one receiver Jerry Rice named, has anybody won Super Bowl MVP?
No.
Julian Edelman?
Yes, he has.
So sounds like just by that point has been proven.
I don't like you. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get up out of here, man. I want to thank my man Bryce from Brooklyn calling in to the show, man, and thank my man Executive Chef Q Drakeford. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to
Hey, make sure you
fake. Make sure you
I'm arguing with him and everything.
Tune in Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, man. This is Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, signing off. And remember, it's never goodbye. It's always see you later. Peace.
Bye, motherfucker.